Comments on SeroTalk Tech Chats are those of the individuals and do not represent SeroTech Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers. Welcome to the latest SeroTalk Tech Chat, powered by Accessible Event, a product of SeroTech Corporation, giving the blind, deaf, and deafblind full access to classes, meetings, and webinars using Microsoft Word documents, Excel spreadsheets, PowerPoint slides, and web pages. 508 compliance is just one click away at www.accessibleevent.com. And now, here's your host, Michael Loft. Well, in this special Tech Chat 97, we're finding out users' favorite Mac apps. And right now, speaking with Scott Rakowski, who's owned a Mac for, what, 3 years? The first two you mentioned are things that are built into the Mac, those being iTunes and Mac Mail. So let's start with those.
The thing I love about iTunes is the iTunes store, the way the store integrates with iTunes, VoiceOver reads all the elements of the store, and I actually find that it's faster to navigate through iTunes on the Mac than it is on the Windows side. You use slightly different keystrokes on the Mac, and you can just move around the screen a lot faster than you can with Windows.
Of course, and the other thing you mentioned is Mac Mail. Windows doesn't have good mail built in by default. You have to go find some third party, but Mac Mail is a very powerful, flexible email program.
It is accessible. When you're sending a large attachment of some kind, you can actually go to the bottom of the window and actually hear the percentage of the attachment that's being sent. And you hit the sound of an aeroplane when it's finished sending your mail. And the other thing that the Mac does that really impresses me with Mac Mail is the IMAP support. I know Windows does have it, but the IMAP support on the Mac Mail is just snappier. It's more responsive. There's no lag like in Windows Live Mail 2011. I just find that it's like slow to respond with any screen reader, not just one in particular. But with the Mac, you don't have that problem. It's just responsive. You get all your mail. On the main mail app screen, there's a search field, so you can type in part of a subject, a person's name, or part of the message, and it'll try and narrow the search down to messages with the whatever you put into the search box. Very, very quick to find it. If you've got, say, 4 years worth of mail sitting on an IMAP folder, it just searches it far faster than you'll ever get with Windows. Easy to handle attachments, to send attachments, very easy. Just a downright excellent program. The menus are all usable. The preferences are easy to navigate through. And I just really like the program and use it every single day.
So let's move beyond what's built in to the Apple Macintosh computers and talk about some of the apps that you added after the fact.
Probably my next favorite app that I use every day would be the Twitter client Urofuku, a Japanese Twitter client. You can interact with the timeline and you can actually send and receive tweets. They actually come in real time, the tweets. When someone sends you a response to a tweet or a mention, you get a different sound. And if someone sends you a direct message, you get a different sound for that too, and a different sound for like a normal timeline tweet. And the other cool thing that none of the other Twitter clients on the Mac seem to have is you can report people as spam if they're just spammers who send tweets to your timeline. You can actually do that. They've really tried to make it VoiceOver compatible.
Every computer, regardless of what operating system it runs, a hard drive needs a little maintenance every now and then. And of course, there's an app called Cocktail that I know you use. Why don't you talk about what it does and maybe a couple things you want to do to optimize its functionality?
Yeah, I use Cocktail ever since I've had my Mac. It's a very cheap program, just $19.95 for lifetime upgrades, I think it is, unless they've changed their pricing since I've purchased my copy. The thing with Cocktail, there's not really that much maintenance you need to do to a Mac because the Unix operating system pretty much looks after itself. You can do things that you'd normally have to do with separate applications like Disk Utility to manage your repairing disk permissions and verifying the disk's integrity, things like that. And it has a very nice feature called Pilot. And what that does is you can go into the Pilot in Cocktail, tell it what tasks you want to actually run whenever you click on run at the bottom of the Pilot window, and it'll do all those tasks all for you at once. Very, very quick. And it also runs these scripts that normally would run on their own at 3 in the morning if your Mac is on, But if for some reason that you don't leave your Mac on every night, you just run the scripts once a month, once a week. There's weekly scripts, monthly scripts, and daily scripts. And you can run either or all of those through the pilot, and it just does them all for you. It just maintains the performance of the Mac, clears out some of the logs if they get a bit large, and it's just an easy program to use. It looks after any maintenance tasks that the Mac needs to do, and it's all in one easy-to-use GUI interface.
Popular program that's recently been updated is Skype, and some sighted folks don't really like the new interface, but in terms of accessibility and conference calls, you actually kind of like it as compared with the old version. So kind of talk about Skype and any things that people might need to know for using it on the Mac.
I'm actually using it right now as we speak. The thing that I really like about Skype on the Mac is if you're in another application, like in Mac Mail or any other application window, and someone rings you, it actually pops up an alert box right in front of you when you hear the Skype ringing sound, depending how you've got that set, and you have a decline or accept button, which you vo space on to click the button, it's just really nice how it just pops up in front of you, and it actually reads out the name of the person who's calling. I know you can do that with the Windows Skype if you've got relevant scripts, but this is all built into Skype in the Mac. The conferencing feature works really well. I've noticed sometimes with the Windows conferencing, when you conference a few people, if your disk's doing something, your machine's bogged down, it just lags a little bit. And with the Mac, I've had up to 8 people on a conference, no problem at all. Adding them to the conference is a little different. You've got to use the add more people button. In the Mac, you used to be able to right click on the contact and click add to conference, but now with Skype 5, you actually use the add more people button when you're on a call, and then you see a list of all your contacts. You just go down to the contacts you want. You can do multiple contacts, and when you found the one you want, you just do vo shift space, which is a simulation of the left mouse click. You do it to all the contacts you want to add, and then you simply stop interacting with that list and go over to the add button, and it adds them all, and then they'll all be talking as soon as they answer. Works well. The only thing I don't like about Mac Skype, the voicemail part of it is a little bit more tricky to use. You can play back messages that you get, but you can't seem to delete them. It's not accessible in the current version of Skype on the Mac. But other than that, yeah, it works well.
Well, one of the things that people love about their Macs is the ability to back up their data. Yeah, you can do it in Windows, but on the Mac, you can actually make pretty much a clone of your hard drive and even boot off that external drive and then use that drive as if it were your main hard drive. So that means you could get a true backup of your system, and so if your hard drive failed, you could get it restored. If you, say, wanted to go play with Lion, beta test Lion, and then say, okay, I've had enough, I'm going to roll back to Snow Leopard, you could do that. There are two apps for that, one called Carbon Copy Cloner, and the other one that you and I both use, Super Duper.
Super Duper is a really, really good app. It's very simple. It's like a wizard. When you first get a hard disk, depending on if it's been formatted for Windows or for the Mac, you can buy them in different configurations. If it's not formatted for your Mac, you have to actually do that. And once you've formatted the Mac drive using the HFS file system, you run Super Duper and you tell Super Duper simply your hard disk. You tell it your backup drive. There's an options. You can go into options and turn on what's called smart update. When you've made your first backup, it'll then only backup the changes to the cloned backup. So in other words, you do a full backup to begin with, and then when you do your next backup, assuming you've purchased the very inexpensive application, $25, one-off fee, you simply click on copy now, and it backs up any changes that you've made to the Mac since the last backup. It's a lot quicker that way because you don't have to do a complete backup all over again. You can see the progress of the backup in progress, tells you what's happening. The author's done a very good job on actually making the program accessible. That is my backup program of choice. There is the free Carbon Copy Cloner. From what I am told, it is voiceover compatible and works well. I like to support developers who go out of their way to make applications accessible. I wanted to pay and support the author. So I definitely recommend the program highly to those who want to be able to back up their Macintosh drive, and you can then boot off that drive too, which is a very nice feature. That's part of the Mac. That's nothing to do with the backup program. It just makes the drive bootable. So when you're booting up your Mac, you can hold down the Option key, arrow left or write to the drive and then basically hit enter and it boots off that drive, and you can actually run the Mac as if it's like the internal drive, but you're actually running off the external drive with no performance loss, totally independent backup and restore as well. You boot off the external drive. Once you run SuperDuper, you click restore, tell it your backup drive and your Mac drive, and it restores it exactly back as it did when you first made a copy. Totally doable. You don't need any sort of assistance.
Any other apps you want to talk about?
Another app that I really do use quite a bit is called Mars Edit, which is a blog editing app. So if you've got like a WordPress blog or Blogspot, similar to Mac Mail, where you actually load it up and you see your blog entries in like a table. When you do a command N for new post, you fill in the title of the post, write down the information of your post, and do a command shift D to send the post, and it publishes your post onto your blog. And I have been using this for a couple of years now, and the author's gone out of his way to make that application very, very usable. Amadeus Pro, which is a sound editing application, edit anything you like. It also has the ability to export anything you edit as an iTunes ringtone. So in other words, it makes you an M4R file for your iPhone if you want, and it'll actually import it into iTunes, and then when you sync your iPhone up with your Mac, it'll then move the ringtone across. Adium, which is a chat messenger app, which works with Facebook, Yahoo, Microsoft Messenger, MSN, and other chatting platforms. And it's got some nice features where it reads the messages that come in, and you can just type into the box and hit enter to send your message away. The other app that I do use often is Address Book, built into the Mac. It's a way of actually manually inputting addresses, phone numbers, and then when you sync your iPhone to your Mac, it'll then move the addresses across to your phone. So it's similar to Windows Address Book. The last app that I want to mention is Transmit, which is an FTP client. FTP is file transfer protocol, and you can use it to transfer files from one machine to another, and it just works very, very well. The author's done a very good job on the program itself. It just has a nice interface, easy to use, and you can have a sound play at the end of the transfer so you know it's done. You can keep an eye on the transfer. And the new version even allows you to have the FTP site mounted in your Finder. It'll look like another disk, so you can actually just open it up as you would a disk or a folder and copy and paste. They're pretty much my apps.
All right. Well, I thank you. Stay tuned. We will be speaking with other folks about their favorite Mac apps during this Tech Chat 97. Speaking now on Tech Chat 97 with Dr. Robert Carter, who is an avid Mac user and has been so for a while, and we'll find out what apps are important to you, the ones that you reach for on a regular basis.
Well, thanks for having me, Michael. I have a lot of apps that I love on the Mac. I, of course, use Apple Mail every day. I have my account set up to sync with Gmail, and so everything in my mailbox syncs on my Mac and on my iPhone automatically. I find the Mail app to be a very nice app, very voiceover friendly and so forth. I use quite a few audio apps. I use quite a few of them from Rogue Amoeba, which is one of the bigger Mac app developers. I use Audio Hijack Pro. I use their Airfoil app to rebroadcast things that are on my Mac to other sources, mostly to my iPhone, so that I can rebroadcast a sports game that's on the web, or rebroadcast some audio from my iTunes library or something and take it outside and listen to it on my iPhone. Their Audio Hijack Pro app I use to set up various microphone configurations and monitoring configurations to record my Tech Doctor podcast. I also use that app to actually do the recording. I use Amadeus Pro, which is an audio editor, to edit the podcast. And Amadeus Pro is very usable with VoiceOver, although it is rather different from, say, SoundForge. So there's a bit of a learning curve to getting comfortable with Amadeus Pro, but it certainly is very usable and it can be done. I use Instapaper, which is an app that I don't think is all that commonly known, at least in the blindness community, but Instapaper is a very nice app that lets you capture the text from a web page and store that text in an Instapaper file that you can then access at a later time to read it later. You can access it on your Mac. I can access it on my iPhone because there's an Instapaper app for the iPhone which stays in sync with the Instapaper on the Mac. And you can even save, if you see a Twitter tweet that has a website listed in it, you can even save that website to Instapaper, for example, or save the article that's in that website to Instapaper. I really love the FTP client Transmit. It's usable on the Mac, and I use it all the time. I use the built-in text editor, do some with Pages, but I mostly use the built-in text editor that's on the Mac. I do use the Rogue Amoeba Pulsar app, which is the SiriusXM radio application. It's an interface to the online versions of SiriusXM, and even though they've gone through a lot of changes at SiriusXM, they have actually broken Pulsar a couple times lately in the changes that they've made. Rogue Amoeba has been very quick to respond and update Pulsar, so that's a favorite app of mine. I use VMware Fusion to access Windows on my Mac. I use Mars Edit blog editor to edit my show notes for my podcast.
What about voice chatting? First off, what are your thoughts on the new Skype? I guess it's 5.1.
I have mixed feelings about it. I don't think that overall the interface works in some ways quite as well. In other ways, it's nicer than the earlier version. I think it's more difficult to operate this interface if you want to do some more advanced things like conference calls, or if you want to start and stop a video chat during a call. I've noticed that sometimes those controls seem to be available on the screen, seem to be seen by VoiceOver, and sometimes they don't. And I've figured out some of the rhyme and reason behind when they do and don't appear, but not all of it. Even on some of the mainstream Mac technology podcast, I hear few complaints about the Skype interface, even without VoiceOver involved. So I think it's got its pros and cons, and I suspect that there will soon be updates to fix a number of the things that people are complaining about. It's a more Mac-like interface. Maybe could have been thought through a little more before it was released. But I have used the Ventrilo client quite a bit. In fact, I use it every week to participate in Steve Sawson's AT Main Access Technology show. Ventrilo works pretty well. I think it works about as well on the Mac as it does on the Windows side.
Social networking, access to Facebook and Twitter. What apps are you using to accomplish that?
Well, I've tried a number of the Twitter apps on the Mac, and I have, for now at least, gone back to the old standby, the first one I tried, which is called Syrinx, and it's kind of a basic Twitter app, but I really like the way that it works with VoiceOver, and it has most of the features that I use typically on Twitter. Although I must admit, I do like Quitter on the Windows side a bit better than any of the Mac apps that I tried. But Syrinx is fine, and there are a couple others that work well.
What about Aidium?
Aidium I have used quite a bit as an instant messaging client, and it works fine, and you can configure it to notify you when people go on and offline. You can also do that with Skype. A lot of people don't realize that you can do that on the Mac, but you can have VoiceOver automatically tell you when people go on and offline. You can even configure it to use different voices for different messages.
What about Address Book or any other native parts like Mac Mail that you enjoy?
Well, certainly Address Book is one that I use a lot. It is very nice because it, again, syncs with the iPhone. But another one that syncs between the Mac and the iPhone and everything is a password manager called 1Password. And it's very accessible on the iOS devices, on the Mac, and on the Windows platform. I use it on all of these platforms and keep all my passwords in sync, and really like what the folks at Agile Software are doing with 1Password. I use Dropbox on all the platforms, and unfortunately Dropbox has had a bit of a setback in terms of its menu being accessible on the Mac, and it's no longer very easy to install it if you have to install the latest version, unfortunately. People have really contacted Dropbox, and supposedly they're aware of it and hopefully working on a fix for that. But once it's installed and running, Dropbox works just fine on the Mac. And Dropbox is very nice because it lets you sync files across multiple applications. And I think that's really an important component of at least the work that I do. Another one that I use is called Simple Note. It's a basic text editor that lets you sync across platforms and works really well. The app that lets you access your Simple Note files on the Mac is called Notational Velocity. It works really well with VoiceOver. A Mac app in the Mac App Store called Alfred, which is a launch bar search app that works really well with VoiceOver, lets you search your Mac for anything, files or emails or items in your address book, or lets you do Google searches or Wikipedia searches with just a few keystrokes, lets you launch any applications on your Mac with a few keystrokes. You can use Spotlight, which is another built-in app on the Mac for doing similar things, but Alfred has few more features and is a little bit more snappy than Spotlight.
iTunes is built in, but a lot of folks add third-party players. What do you do for music and books on your Mac?
I really like iTunes quite a lot on the Mac. Don't like it as well on the Windows side, but it works well with VoiceOver on the Mac. And I use the Video LAN Client VLC player to play just about everything else that I want to play on the Mac as far as audio goes, and that includes a lot of podcasts. And there's an app that's called Radio Anti, which is kind of interesting, which plays the BBC radio stations on the Mac, and it's very accessible. Of course, you can use Audio Hijack Pro to play things that have been recorded in Audio Hijack. I guess that's pretty much it from my standpoint.
Thank you, sir.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for having me, and good luck with the Tech Chat.
Now speaking with Steve Sawson, ATMAINE.com, the Assistive Technology Show, held every Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 Eastern. You do the whole presentation on your Mac, including broadcasting live, recording, and doing the voice chat via technology called Ventrilo, all on your Mac.
That is true. We host the show and broadcast the show and do everything using the Mac, and have a lot of folks participating in the program using their Macs as well. The Ventrilo client, which is free and available from www.ventrilo.com, is free. It's about 98% accessible. There's a few buttons that are not labeled, but they don't cause any harm if you push them, and then you'll see what they do. The app works really, really well.
And then what else do you do to actually broadcast? What other software do you use before we get into some of your specific favorites?
Kill Two Birds with One Stone is one of the software packages I use and absolutely love, is Audio Hijack Pro by Rogue Amoeba. Rogue Amoeba is just a great name for a company. Audio Hijack Pro allows you to take audio from any program and do something with it. Normally record it, but you can sometimes do other things with it as well, such as send it to another program. I use Audio Hijack Pro to record all of the audio that passes through Ventrilo, and that recording we use then for the podcast and the archive. I also use Nicecast, made by Rogue Amoeba, uses the same technology as Audio Hijack Pro to capture audio from Ventrilo, and that broadcasts the audio stream to a Shoutcast server so that people who don't want to install Ventrilo can listen to the program live. So using those two tools in conjunction, I'm able to record the show for podcasting at a higher quality and stream at a slightly lower quality with virtually no impact on system resources, and they're both incredibly accessible.
And this is on a MacBook, is that correct?
This is on a MacBook. I've done it on a number of configurations, but shall I say the weakest configuration was a MacBook Air, which had a really slow processor and not a lot of RAM, and even it handled it just fine. I think both apps together cost like $59 or something like that.
So let me ask you, because you are self-employed, what built-in apps come with the Apple OS X software do you find useful?
One of the apps I use, of course, heavily is Mail. I have multiple Mail accounts and need to be able to deal with email as efficiently as possible, and so I use the Mac Mail client extensively. I also use the calendar program iCal and the address book program, which is address book. On Windows, I used Outlook, and Outlook sort of had all of these things in one place, and so it took me a little while to get used to the fact that on the Mac, they're not all in the same application, but they do all share data with one another. The neat thing with this particular suite of applications on the Mac is that not only do they help me be more productive, but they all three can sync with Google. And what this gives me the ability to do is to wirelessly synchronize my calendar, my contacts, and my mail between my iOS devices, my Mac, a new Android phone I've been playing with, All of this facilitated through Google, free of charge, and I can have current, up-to-date information on any of the devices, regardless of where I am. There's also ways, again, built into the Mac to automate certain tasks and to assign keyboard shortcuts for certain operations and to change already defined keyboard shortcuts to ones that you like better, even within applications. So there's a lot of power and a lot of flexibility that, depending on how you work, can enable you to work more efficiently.
What are some of your favorite third-party Mac apps that you would install? If you, when Lion comes out and you rebuild from scratch, what are some of the first things that are going to go on your new OS?
One app that I really, really like is called Mac Journal. It's made by a company called Mariner Software. Basically, what it allows you to do is to create multiple journals, and each journal contains entries. I use this all the time, not for a diary per se, but I can use it for case notes. I might have a journal for each client that I'm working with, or a journal for projects that I'm working with. And what's really nice about Mac Journal is you can drag or copy and paste information in from other applications. So, for example, if I have an audio file that's related to something, I can just drag it in and it becomes an entry. Or if I have a PDF report that I got generated or someone emailed me, I can just drop it in. And it's all sorted by date. I can add titles to things if I want to, but I don't have to deal with sorting them, putting them in folders, or any sort of naming scheme. Mac Journal sort of handles everything, and then I have the ability to search for keywords. And you can maintain multiple journals. You can encrypt journals, which may be important. And if you are a blogger, Mac Journal can interface with a number of popular blogging platforms, including Tumblr, WordPress, and I think a couple of others. It's a very, very powerful and useful application for a number of scenarios.
Well, so people who mentioned Mars Edit, which is great for blogging, this does that and so much more, it sounds like.
Well, Mars Edit, that's another really good one. And Mars Edit I particularly like. In fact, I like it so much I bought it twice. It's a blogging application. It's very, very accessible. The author, Daniel, he runs a company called Red Sweater Software. Daniel is very committed to accessibility and has been very responsive to incorporating any feedback that we've submitted that might make the app more accessible for the blind. And I really appreciate that. He's really gone above and beyond. If you're interested in blogging and don't know how to do it and don't want to know how to do it, or if you just do a lot of it and don't have time to deal with the mechanics, Mars Edit is fantastic. Once you get it configured, you can write your post, and using menus or fields that are on the screen, you can add tags to your post. You can create links simply by selecting text and then using a keyboard shortcut. You can generate links in your post. You can add files to be attached, such as audio files, say for a podcast. And then you click publish, and Mars Edit goes ahead and does what it needs to do to make sure that your written work gets out to the world. Even if you're not connected to the internet, it'll save a draft of your work. You can edit things you've already published. So it's a very, very powerful blogging application that is also incredibly accessible.
Okay, what else will we find in your top 10?
I love Aidium. Of course, that's not productivity. Aidium is a multi-protocol messenger service. Instead of having multiple messenger clients, I can have access to my Windows Live, my AIM, Yahoo, Facebook, messengers. There's others as well, but those are the ones I primarily use. All in one contact list. Aidium is very accessible. It just helps me to collaborate with other people and, well, just generally have fun.
Now explain to our listeners what functionality it gives you for Facebook specifically.
For Facebook, you can do the Facebook chat, and you can also publish your status, but what I use it primarily for is the Facebook chat. This way I don't have to have the web page open. All of my chats, regardless of which network they're on, everything is in the same place in terms of chat. And so to have that Facebook chat component also in that same place for me is a huge plus. Twitter. I'm a Twitter addict, and I use Yufurukuru. Don't know how to say it. It means night owl in Japanese. It's free, and it's now available in the Mac App Store, which is fantastic. Yeah, if you search for night owl on Google, you'll find it. Night Owl Twitter is how I found it originally. Being available through the Mac App Store is fantastic because now updates get pushed out with everything else. Also very, very accessible. The author seems really responsive to any accessibility concerns and seems to be able to get them a draft very, very quickly. I use TextEdit a lot. A lot of people think that TextEdit is nothing more than Notepad on Windows, TextEdit is actually pretty powerful.
Yeah, it reads various Word docs, like DOCX files and .doc files and RTF and a variety of other formats.
And you can also produce pretty well formatted documents. I've created lists with it. You can do some paragraph type formatting as well. You can't do a lot of advanced formatting. I mean, you have some limitations in terms of fonts. I don't think it supports like header text or footer type stuff. But for what most people, including myself, would do with it, TextEdit is more than adequate. Bulleted, numbered list, outlines, things like that. Pretty powerful.
Okay, what about if someone needs something more advanced, with using Pages or Tables or OpenOffice? What would you recommend if they need greater functionality?
I use Pages for that. Pages, for the most part, works well. At least that's what I found. There's a few things in Pages that don't act as I would like them to yet, but for the most part, Pages works well. Oftentimes, what I'll do is I'll type something up in TextEdit, paste it into Pages, and then format it if it needs some advanced formatting. Or Pages has a lot of templates for different style letters or fax cover sheets. There's hundreds of templates in Pages. So sometimes what I'll do is I'll type something up in TextEdit, then go to Pages and grab one of the templates so it looks nice and pretty, and paste my work from TextEdit into the Pages template. Pages has another neat feature, though. In addition to being a productivity tool, you can save information in EPUB format. So if you have an iOS device and want to use iBooks and have things that are is textbooks or HTML documents that you need to convert to EPUB, you can use Pages for that as well.
Well, speaking of reading, I know there's some apps to actually convert text to a synthetic speech output, an MP3 or other type file. Are you doing anything in that space?
You know, I'm really not anymore. I used to be doing a lot of that. What I used to do is take Bookshare books and I would convert them into speech, and then I could sync that and listen to it on my iPhone. But now that there's iBooks and easy ways to convert materials into EPUB format, I don't hardly do it at all. I used to use an app called iSpeakIt by Zaptec software. I think the functionality you really need to create audio from text is built into Snow Leopard, so you really don't need any third-party software.
Are you using any players beyond iTunes? I know some use VLC for podcasts or just another way to listen to radio, or there's Pulsar for people who have subscriptions to XM Sirius. Are you doing anything in that space?
I played with Pulsar. I no longer have an XM account, but when I did, I played with Pulsar and really, really liked it. iTunes I use. Occasionally I'll use VLC. VLC has a feature that I really miss from my Windows days. That is, I used to use Winamp a lot in Windows, and Winamp had this great feature where you could play a folder. Just have everything in a folder play. And so I have a whole bunch of stuff organized by folders. They're not all tagged correctly, so iTunes doesn't deal with this very well. They're all organized in folders. VLC can play those, and that's really handy for me. So I use VLC quite a bit for playing media.
Everyone has commented thus far on the latest Skype. Some folks love it, some don't. Some say it's better in some ways and worse in others. What are your thoughts on Skype 5.1?
Skype makes me feel like a curmudgeon in a way. I've always used to embrace change and think, oh, this app is new. They've changed everything. That's fantastic. And now I find myself saying, I can't believe they changed this. It worked perfectly good. Why'd they have to go and mess it up? I don't like the new Skype interface. I especially don't like the way that chats no longer show up in their own windows. I used to like the fact that each chat was in its own window. I could easily switch between them. And now having to go back to that source list to change between chats drives me crazy. I think there's some other audio things as well, but it just seems, at least to me, less efficient now to use Skype than it used to. They've really made it look like iTunes in that, you know, you have a sources view on the left, and then you have that right-hand pane, which reflects what you're doing on the left. The difference, though, between Skype and iTunes, in my opinion, is that if in iTunes you have your music selected, you're looking at your music. If you have your movies selected, you're looking at your movies. With Skype, though, you need to be all over the map. You might have your contact list selected, but then you hear a chat message come in. So now you want to go and see that chat message. But wait, then you're getting another incoming file request from somewhere else. But each of these things require you to change in the source list. And so although I can see the layout being beneficial in something like an iTunes, where you're not jumping between the categories all of the time, in somewhere like Skype, I don't know, it just seems the wrong way to make it iTunes-ish.
Of course, we're releasing DocuScan Plus because we felt one of the biggest weaknesses on the Mac was reading those PDF images, as well as just a good turnkey OCR solution, especially cross-platform, where you can scan it on the Mac and yet read it from your Windows machine so you can spread documents between home and work. But what other OCR technologies have you found to be effective?
There's a bit of a hole there on the Mac. The only product that I have really used and am okay with, I won't say super impressed with it, but okay with, is Fine Reader Express Edition. Fine Reader Express Edition, which is often abbreviated as free, is not free. Free costs $99. It does not work with a number of scanners I've tried, so it seems to be hit and miss as far as whether or not it'll work with a scanner. It does do a fair job of recognition on files, but doesn't really produce any sort of formatting. It's hard to really read the status of the conversion. It's very, very limited for what it does. It's nowhere near as powerful, as feature-rich, or as accurate as Fine Reader Pro for Windows, but it's the only solution that I found that really works well for Mac. So I'm looking forward to seeing what DocuScan Plus will do in the Mac space.
Well, it's coming to an app store near you very soon. So, Steve, thanks a lot. You gave us a lot of valuable input. As always, check out his podcast at atmain.com, or maybe if you need someone to assist you, AT Training. Steve is certainly in that biz as well. So thank you very much, sir.
Well, thanks very much for having me.
And as we move around the globe on Tech Chat 97, we go back to Australia to speak with David Woodbridge with Vision Australia. David, you've created quite a few tutorials to assist new and even current users of the Mac. Let's hear, you just sent me an email, kind of your top 10. You don't have to count them down like Casey Kasem, but just kind of what apps you are using these days.
No, that's fine. Thanks for having me on the show. Besides the internal applications, always tend to use Mail, fun enough, the built-in Mail application on the Mac. Safari for web browsing. Of course, iTunes. iTunes I actually find a lot easier to use on the Mac. You can just seem to pop around it extremely easy. Of course, I tend to use TextEdit. I do a lot of scripting for the podcast that I sometimes do nowadays, and I tend to use TextEdit quite a lot now for just doing some of the scripting for some of the podcasts I do. Preview, besides using it for PDF file viewing, which I find a little bit limited, Preview is really great when you get a DAISY book from the Vision Australia Library, in my case, for example, and I want to quickly listen to what the narrator sounds like before I bother copying it over to the hard drive or the Victor Stream. Just pressing spacebar on one of the MP3 files just to listen to the narrator's voice. So I tend to use that quite a lot. And of course, the Mac App Store. And probably up until this point of the recording, since it came out in January, I've probably sadly downloaded and tried about 110 applications, and that's for testing both for Vision Australia, myself, and Apple Australia. These are probably my most favorite ones. I use Cyrix, which is the Twitter application for the Mac, and I use that extensively on the Mac when I haven't got my iPhone running. Skype, of course, which I'm currently talking on, and I've got quite a few support people around Australia that I tend to talk to via Skype when I'm in particular supporting the Mac. Amadeus Lite, which is a recording application that I use to record all the podcasts I do. I also use Amadeus Lite for when I do a training session on either Mac or Windows with my clients. I record the session, pop it onto an MP3 file for them. They can take it around the USB key and listen to it at home. And with the Amadeus Lite application, I also use another program called Read4Me. It takes a text file and dumps it out to an MP3 file. So it's basically text-to-speech. Most people might have noticed that some of my podcasts on Apple Accessibility that I do my own podcast series is Alex speaking, and that scripted content basically comes from Read4Me, and that's quite a good application to use. For reading DAISY books and other material, I tend to use the still in public beta, the free Elyria application from Australia that reads DAISY 2.02 books. I use Read Here, which will do both DAISY 2.02 and DAISY 3, which is text DAISY books. I'm an international customer of Bookshare. I also use the Unarchiver utility, and that's the Unarchiver zip utility, which allows you to put the password in that Bookshare requires when you unzip the secure zip files that contain your books. I wanted to sort of turn my Mac into an iPhone. Three applications that I love to use on my Mac all the time, particularly when I'm traveling on the train, to sort of block out a bit of the noise in the train, and that is white noise. It basically has a range of sounds, such as the sounds that you'd hear on board an airplane, a sprinkler in a park, running water, rain on the roof of a car, etc., just to block out other noises around you. Music Healing, which has a range of about 20 different music tracks to relax you, motivate you. And the other one that I use extensively on both the Mac and my iPhone, the iPad and the iPod Touch, is called Keeper, and that's a password protection vault application that I use to keep all my passwords in. I think at the moment I've got about 35 different sites, home, work, other type passwords that I have to keep all the time, and that's very useful. I can check it on my Mac, the iPhone. One application that I tend to use a lot all the time between home and work, and of course that's Dropbox. Dropbox interface itself is completely inaccessible as far as I'm concerned, but I do use just the straight Dropbox folder on my Mac or PC to transfer files. So when I'm doing my podcasts at home or work and I haven't got time to finish editing them, I tend to transfer them to the other site when I get home or at work. I can just pop onto the Dropbox account and get access to the file.
Now, as far as Dropbox, I guess if you use the latest version, there's issues with the installer.
Correct. And what I did with the installer, probably like most people, I went and got Cited Assistance, which irritated me. I found, and this might be different, I mean, I installed my Dropbox about 9 months ago, and what I found was, once I had already put in or set it up for my username and password, when I actually installed it on my other Macs and my other PCs, all I really had to do was just put in my username and password, and it was fine. It came up, and I could access my Dropbox folder and the public folder, etc. Because I don't tend to use the Dropbox interface itself as so much, nor the website. All I really want it for is like my iDisk folder for Mobile Me is purely to transfer files or get access to files to and from different machines. A lot of people have been talking about OCR applications, so scanning applications for the Mac. Everybody talks about, or at least in Australia, my clients, is proper access to PDF files, converting image-based PDF to text and accessing text-based PDF files. So the two things that irritate me and irritate a lot of my clients most of the time is general or straightforward access to OCR and general straightforward access to PDF files. So those two issues are coming up all the time, and everybody's got, you know, iTunes and Skype and everything else under control.
Great segue, because that's what we're going to demo here shortly, is our very forthcoming, just about to submit it to the App Store, is DocuScan Plus. Basically do the same thing you do on Windows, but you can do it on the Mac and actually access your documents via either operating system, so including the OCR with supported scanners, and by that meaning supported by the Mac itself, or getting the drivers installed, or cameras, the HoverCam, as well as the PDF conversion, including images.
Yes, I actually currently own a copy of DocuScan, so that to me is going to be one of the great things that I'll be using on the Mac and sharing with my clients. Apple Australia, I was talking to the guys, because I've always been irritating them about the fact that I really want proper PDF and OCR access, so they're actually quite interested to hear how DocuScan performs on the Mac as far as their educators are concerned in schools. When I get my hands on it, I will certainly be doing a podcast and evaluating it for Vision Australia, but also be sharing that information back with Apple Australia so that they can tell all their Apple distinguished educators around Australia who support people in different education settings about the use of DocuScan, because I think it's one of those applications that really will make a difference on using the Apple Mac, because that's one of the things that when I talk to itinerant or support teachers in schools in particular, they're always been bemoaning the fact that OCR and PDF file access just seems to be so difficult. So hopefully I can wave the flag through DocuScan and we can see how we go. Just one final thing I completely forgot about. Blind people do have the right to enjoy themselves on their computers. Anything I wish the Mac had were games. I mean, yes, we've got the 7128 games that I've seen you can play on the Mac, but I'd love to see a lot more games ported over to the Mac. I mean, we have a huge range now on the PC platform, and of course we've got quite a few ones now on the iOS platform, but I'd love to see some really good games, especially multimedia ones, that you could get access to on the Apple Mac. That'd be fantastic. A really great way to enjoy your Mac even more.
Well, I have to ask you, because everyone's commented about it, there's a lot of opinion, pro and con, about the latest Skype 5.1 versus 2.8 and changes in the interface. Some folks love it, some folks say it's kind of good and bad. What are your thoughts on the new Skype?
I'm probably a person who actually loves it. I actually found it quite nice. Quite a few of the controls in version 2 weren't that greatly accessible. However, I did notice when someone sent me a request to join my contact list the other day, I actually couldn't find the button to confirm the person's request. Now, on 2.2, I could actually find it quite easily, but for the life of me, I couldn't find it on the current system. So it's a little bit bizarre in some of the things it does. The fact that you've got to keep jumping to the HTML area all the time, it doesn't seem to have as many screens or items that I normally could get access to straight away. I could do a lot of jumping around. That said, more of the controls seem to be accessible. I'm a real shortcut key user. So, you know, things like Shift Command H for hang up, or Shift Command M to mute your microphone, etc. I mean, they're working fine. So I try and tend to ignore the interface as much as possible, because I just want to get the job done, talk to people, train people, you know, call, get off and get on with things for the day. So I actually quite like Skype 5. There are probably a few things I'd like improved, but overall, I think it's fine.
Well, thank you, David Woodbridge, for sharing your information. And we will provide a link so folks can go over to your page at Vision Australia and listen to the many great tutorials. And we thank you for taking the time to do that to help new Mac and existing Mac users get up to speed and getting the most out of their Mac.
You've seen it on Windows. You've dreamed about using it on your shiny Mac. And that's about to become reality. So let's take a look at DocuScan Plus for the Mac. I have the application open. And let's just take a quick tour of what's available in the main window.
New document button. Manage documents button. Preferences button. Help button.
So for basic buttons. Preferences and help are self-explanatory, and we'll talk about what's in preferences a bit later. But we can also create a new document or manage existing documents that have been stored in the cloud. I can move through these options with VoiceOver left and right arrows, or I can use Tab and Shift Tab. Let's move to a new document.
Press Window, scan new document. HoverCam T5 device pop-up button.
HoverCam T5, which happens to be the device I will be using during this demonstration. This is a pop-up button. So if I have multiple scanning sources on my system, I can choose the one that I want to use for a particular scanning session.
Menu checkmark. HoverCam T5. Built-in eyesight.
Built-in eyesight is probably not going to work so well. We don't recommend that you hold a piece of paper up to the screen on your MacBook. So check let's mark. Stick with the HoverCam T5. Now I can choose the type of new document I'd like to create.
Simple scan button.
Again, I move through the options with VoiceOver left or right arrow, or with Tab and Shift Tab.
Batch scan button. Continuous writing scan button. Scan a PDF file button.
Those are my options. I'd like to move back to the beginning and choose a simple scan.
Simple scan button. Scan first page button.
I'll activate this with VoiceOver spacebar.
Press scan first page button.
And we get immediate feedback that the camera has taken a picture.
Busy progress indicator.
And now we're waiting for the page to process. I've chosen a fairly large page, so it will take a moment.
Scan next page. Dim button.
Now I've gotten an indicator that the page has completed processing.
HTML content.
Inside this HTML content is the result of the OCR, which is just performed on this image. I can interact with this.
Interact with HTML content. Carry ons. A blueprint for success. 2. By Tim Cords, MD, PhD. From the editor, at the 2010 NFB convention in Dallas, Federationists were honored and thrilled to hear a presentation by Dr. Tim Cords. Perhaps half a dozen blind people have ever completed medical training in the United States. Dr. Cords is among them. In this article, he shared some of the ingredients of his success.
That's a good place to stop. I can stop interacting with the HTML
stop
content.
Stop interacting with HTML.
In order to...
Scan next page button.
Scan the next page.
Rescan page button.
Rescan the current page if I didn't like the results.
Edit page button.
Edit the page so that I can make some minor modifications if there were OCR errors, as we saw with the very top line of the article.
Save button.
Or I can save my result. If I don't want to do any of those things, which I don't at the moment, I can just close this window with Command W.
Close window. Window. DocuScan Plus. New document button.
Now, I'm back to the main interface. I'm going to choose New Document once
window,
again.
Scan New Document. HoverCam T5 device pop-up button.
This time, I'd like to try the Continuous Reading Scan. The Continuous Reading Scan is much like Batch Scan, except for one important difference. With Batch Scan, you can just continue snapping pictures and at the end have the OCR processing done on those images. With Continuous Reading Scan, you can snap a picture or scan the first page and begin reading that page even while you scan additional pages in the background. So let's take a look at what that's like.
Simple scan, batch scan button, continuous reading scan button, press HTML content. Place the first page under the camera, then press the scan first page button to begin. Scan first page, default button.
I will scan the first page.
HTML content. Scan next page, default button.
So just as before, I was able to scan the first page, but whereas in simple scan, the scan next page is dimmed, it is available in this instance, and I can snap the next picture
HTML content.
Even while that one is still processing. We'll wait to get the result that the first page has processed, and there it is.
HTML content. Interact with HTML content, careers. Careers. A blueprint for success. Heading level 1 by Tim Cords, MD, PhD. From the editor at the 20.
So we're reading the same thing again. While I'm still inside the HTML content, I can snap the next picture just by pressing enter. The previous page has just finished processing, but I was able to snap the picture of the next page without having to stop interacting with the HTML content and therefore lose my place. I don't want to save this document either, so I'm going to close this window with Command W.
Close window, window, Doku Scan Plus, new document button.
And once again, I'm back in the main interface. Next, I'd like to take a look at scanning a PDF, but I'm going to do this in a slightly different way. While I can choose the Scan PDF option from DocuScan Plus and be presented with a standard open dialog where I choose the PDF that I want, what happens when DocuScan Plus isn't running and you have encountered a PDF in Finder or elsewhere that you'd like to use DocuScan Plus to recognize? Let's show how that works.
Finder, Window, Documents, List View, Table, One Row Selected.
I have just closed the DocuScan Plus application, and I'm in my Documents window in Finder.
About stacks.pdf, Monday, November 29, 2010 to 3618 p.m. at...
About stacks.pdf. This is pretty standard PDF file, which comes with all Macs. So let's recognize it with DocuScan Plus. I can choose to open this PDF in a couple of different ways. The one I'm going to choose is to press VoiceOver Shift M.
Menu. Open. Open with submenu. Open with submenu, DocuScan Plus, default.
And DocuScan Plus is in this list. You'll also notice that it is the default application for opening PDFs. I was able to do that by pressing Command-I on a PDF file to get its info, and then I changed the preferences in order to allow DocuScan Plus to be the default for all PDF files. But if I just wanted to do this once, and I didn't necessarily want to make DocuScan Plus default, I could do it with VoiceOver Shift-M and the Open With menu option.
List view, table, list view, window, scan PDF, HTML content. 0.0% progress indicator.
DocuScan Plus came right up. I used VoiceOver left arrow to move to the progress indicator. And since this was a fairly short PDF, we didn't have much progress update, but
100.0% progress indicator.
You'll see that this has been completed, and you'll notice the chime at the end to indicate that the file is done recognizing
HTML content.
Just as with the pictures I snapped from my camera, I have HTML content to interact with here when the image is done recognizing from the PDF. So I can interact with this.
Interact with HTML content. Interact with text. Word. Heading level 1. Documents stack. Welcome to macOS 10 Snow Leopard. The doc in Snow Leopard includes stacks, which you can use to quickly access.
And there you have it. Now, we've scanned any number of documents, although we haven't saved any of them yet. I do, however, have several documents saved in the cloud.
DocuScan Plus.
From things that I have done previously. I'd like to do something with those documents, so let's go take a look at them.
Manage Documents button.
I'm choosing the Manage Documents option.
Press Window, Documents, Name, Table, One Row Selected, Name, Little Prince.
Here I have a table containing all of the documents that I have stored in the cloud.
McAllister's.
There is McAllister's Deli. That's a really good deli with all sorts of good stuff. I think I want to open this file and look at what I can do with it.
Open, default button.
So I chose VoiceOver right arrow to move to the Open button. However, if I didn't want to do that,
Delete button.
My other option is to delete the document.
Delete, Open, default button.
So let's open this.
Press Open, Deep Window, McAllister's, HTML content.
There's the HTML content that will contain the recognized text. But what can I do with this text once it's recognized?
Email button.
I can email this document to myself for whatever reason, or to somebody else if I just want to make them hungry too.
Send to Kindle button.
I can send to the Amazon Kindle, and it's going to sync automatically, wirelessly.
Make Daisy book button.
I can also make a Daisy book, meaning that the book will contain both the recognized text and an audio version of the book, recorded using the voice you've chosen in System Preferences or in DocuScan Plus Preferences, which we'll take a look at in just a second.
Make MP3 file button.
Making an MP3 file does exactly what you think it does. The MP3 is going to be generated using the preferences that you've set within DocuScan Plus preferences. So these are different from your voiceover settings.
Protect button.
I can protect the document by adding a password to it so that if I'm really concerned about security, not only will I have to launch the application on my own Mac, but I will have to enter a password in order to access this particular document. So if someone gets their hands on your Mac, they still won't necessarily have access to your documents if you password protect them.
Save to this computer button.
I can save to this computer in RTF format. If I don't necessarily want to keep this document in the cloud, or if I just want an RTF to pass around to people for editing and such.
Save to this computer as large print button.
That one's self-explanatory.
Make Braille file button.
I can make a Braille file. The Braille table which is used can be chosen from the DocuScan Plus preferences window. So you can choose grade 2, computer Braille, a different language table entirely, and whatever you choose within DocuScan Plus preferences, that's what'll be used to generate this BRF file that you can then transfer to a note taker or embosser.
Delete button.
Or I can delete the document from here as well.
Delete button.
I think I'd like to convert this document to an MP3 so that I can listen to it while I'm heading down the road to McAllister's to get some fun and
make,
yummy
save
food.
To this computer. Protect make MP3 file button. Prep window. Transfer progress. Collecting information. Transfer progress. Collecting information. 0.0% progress indicator.
Now the progress indicator is updating. And again. Now the file is done.
Done. The converted document is in your documents folder.
Oh good, now I know where to look. It's in my documents folder. So let's
Finder.
Go take a look.
Finder. McAllister's.mp3, Thursday, April 14, 2011.
And there it is. I will do a quick look with Command Y.
Quick look, McAllister's, copyright 2008 McAllister's Corporation. All rights reserved. Vegetarian item. Please note, some items are not available in all restaurants. Only McAllister's famous window close quick.
We'll close that. That was moving at a pretty fast clip. What if I'd like to slow it down a little bit? Let's take a look at where to
Doku
do
scan
that.
Plus. Doku Scan Plus. Window. Transfer progress. Done. The converted document.
I'm going to close this window.
Close window. Window.
And choose preferences. I can either use command comma as is standard, or I can navigate to the preferences button in the main window. I'm going to use command comma.
Preferences. Window. Preferences. Speech. Selected tab 1 of 2. Braille tab 2 of 2.
So speech and Braille are the only two options in this preferences dialog.
These preferences are used when converting a document to a DAISY book or MP3 file.
And there's the explanation of why we're here.
Voice. Alex, voice, pop-up button.
I can choose Alex, or I can choose from any of the existing voiceover voices. And I can also use voices such as the acapella InfoVox voices, which I have purchased. So Heather and Ryan are in my choices here. I'll stick with Alex today.
Speed. Faster button.
I think he was plenty fast enough, so let's move to the slower button.
Slower button.
And I will press VO spacebar.
This is a test of your speech settings.
And we immediately get feedback of what this is going to sound like.
This is a test of your speech settings. This is a test. This is a test of your speech settings. Press slower button.
I think good old Alex sounds pretty good right there. All I need to do is close the window.
Close window.
So there you have it. A quick look at DocuScan Plus. If you want to learn more about what DocuScan Plus for Mac can do, you can check out the help documentation by visiting help.samobile.net, and you'll find the DocuScan Plus help on that page.
And now joining me, hopefully he's here, Mr. Pete Bosley. There he is.
I'm here.
All right. So now let's open up the floor and take some questions. Maybe there's some Mac apps that we didn't cover. You're certainly welcome to do that. And I will open the voice module as well. We do ask, again, don't charge into comments. Just state your name and we'll call on you. All right. And Peter, were there any apps there that were not mentioned that you use when you're playing around with the Mac?
I think people mentioned most of them.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff. A lot of great information between the four of them. Upcoming Tech Chats. Next week we're going to do one because a lot of folks use Windows. We're going to talk about some of folks' favorite Windows software on the 28th of the month, April 28th. It'll be this month in Access Technology. We'll look at some of the highlight stories for April. And coming up in May, we're going to give you an opportunity to show you how you can actually make some money. That's right, a job opportunity, as well as learn about how to improve the quality of your sleep. So I can't think of a better win-win scenario than that. Let's see, our first text question coming in. Mike Arrigo asks about Ziz, P-Z-I-Z-Z. Yeah, that's certainly one app. If you need help, what it does, you can set time frames for either to put you totally out to sleep for the night or to give yourself a quick 20-30 minute power nap. It actually does work. I've done it. It's a very cool technology. That's probably one for you, Pete, when you're updating all those servers and have to do a late night. You could grab a quick 20-30 minutes and be back on your game for another 5-6
hours. Yeah, I wish.
Yeah, you wish. You're afraid you won't get started again. Yeah, what, 30 minutes? No, but no, that is a good app. So you could get those in the App Store. They're also available for iOS devices as well. And there's one for Windows. So, again, any other questions, please keep them firing up at us. We will continue as long as those questions are coming. But once they cease, we will put the end to it. Let's see our next question here. Oh, well, I think so. Okay. How can I install Flash on my Mac? I'll let you take that one, Pete.
Well, the installer is kind of difficult. So, you know, I think I used the command line to install it, so I think it's kind of beyond the scope of this particular.
So if you go get the flash update.dmg or whatever, you can't. There's a problem actually clicking on one of the buttons that's necessary to get it deployed or get it.
The last time I tried to use the installer from the Apple, or I mean from the Adobe site, it didn't work. There was some kind of unlabeled element somewhere.
Okay. Well, again, something to kick Adobe in the butt. They go out and sponsor events alleging accessibility, and yet let's take it back to the labs and make these fundamental things accessible. That would be great.
If there's a developer in the community here that wants to have an internship at Adobe, I saw that they were hiring an intern for accessibility.
Well, there you go. If you have the skill and the knack and the desire to help improve accessibility for Adobe products, there could be your opportunity. Question from Ricky. An app called Say It converts text to AIFF, great for reading books. So, very good. You want to read a variety of different books, and I know there's a few different apps, but there's some different questions, I guess, as far as the audio formats that are supported. Mike Arrigo says, you can't navigate with VoiceOver in the install, but the tab key works fine. So I assume you're talking about the Flash.
Yeah,
the app in it. Okay, so you can tab through it and get it deployed that way.
I'm such a VoiceOver user, I just use the VoiceOver commands. I didn't even try to tab.
Yeah, I guess because I'm a holdover from Windows, I do that. But you're right, I do both. Sometimes I'll VO, and of course, another great command in the Mac that it took me a while to realize, the command grave accent. You know, it's kind of amazing. Question from Ron McEwen. How does someone follow someone in Uofukuru?
You should be able to use the menu command, which is the VoiceOver Shift M, and then hit the follow.
Well, that sounds easy enough. I haven't migrated to that yet. I'm still using Syrinx. A lot of us, I guess, have been holding out, but it's a good app. A lot of folks have definitely gone to it, and of course, you can report as spam. Hey, when those spammers use your name to promote their wares, a lot of other cool stuff, and they've been very open to enhancing accessibility for that great Twitter.
I really like Uofukuru. It's a mouthful there.
Watch your mouth.
but it's a great app. It was the one that was suggested to me by Buddy, actually, Buddy Brandon. And so that's the one I've kind of gotten into on the Mac side. It's no quitter, but...
Well, I think that's interesting because sometimes one person stumbles on something, and that's where... It's important when you find something that, to your knowledge, no one else is using, that you get out and tweet about it and let folks know, because there's so many apps, especially now as you go to the app store and you have to buy before you try. So let's see. We have another question here. Is Boot Camp accessible?
The bootcamp utility on OS X is accessible, and once you get the drivers installed on the Windows side, then you know Windows behaves like it does on any other PC. So I guess.
Yeah, it depends on what you mean by accessibility, what you're trying to accomplish. But I know blind folks have done it, but I know some of them have done some memorization as far as deploying a Windows install.
Yeah, I'd really like to see Microsoft do an accessible installation process. It's time. So, you know, maybe we'll see that in Windows 8.
Yeah, I say long overdue, whether it's a working or easy to use AIK, even for a clean Windows 7 on a box, you're trying to upgrade from XP or build from scratch where you don't have the benefit of already having Vista or Win 7 there to do it. That would be nice.
I tend to reinstall everything I get anyway, folks, just because of the security issues. You know, when I get a computer in the mail, it's the first thing that happens to it is it gets erased.
Yep, and even do a data wipe with the zeros and ones and...
Just
a clean OS with none of that crapware on there, and or do you get the drivers first and then?
I usually find the drivers online before I wipe it away, but you know, as soon as I do that, that machine's gone. It's erased.
You find any apps for that? And we were using something driver agent or something, but anyway, we're deviating it off of Mac here. But so there are some
there's
apps that
do that. Driver backup tool. I forget what it's called, but it's a command line tool. So I don't know how useful it is for most people.
Okay. Any other questions? Keep them firing up, folks, or we will bring it to an end because we've already exceeded our 1 hour, but we wanted to give you a chance to either mention some apps that we did not cover, because there are quite a few.
Yeah. We're really excited to bring you DocuScan Plus on the Mac. I know that, you know, a lot of people have been talking about it recently, and we're thinking that this is going to be very useful for those of you that already own DocuScan on the Windows side and have Macintosh computers, and we're really hoping that the community will find this as a valuable tool to have in their arsenal when using the Mac and all the things that come along with needing to scan items. So
that is a good point, because a lot of folks, make sure that folks understand that when you pay the $299, you're getting versions for both Windows and Mac. If you already own it in Windows, you will have automatically get your version for the Mac. Likewise, if you buy it for the Mac, you will have access to a Windows version. So, and if those of you who have security concerns, HIPAA, whatever reason, you can, as Ricky pointed out, encrypt any specific documents that you don't want anyone else to see. And you better remember the password. You hide it from yourself there as well.
We didn't talk. I don't know if Ricky talked about this during her little segment there or not, but what's going to be really cool about this is that when you do scan a document from either platform and it's saved on your SAMNet or DocuScan Plus account, that'll be available from multiple platforms. So, you know, as platforms are added to the list of platforms that DocuScan Plus is on at later dates, we're going to try to keep things in the spirit of cloud computing and make things as available everywhere as possible.
Right. So even for now, you can, if you use a Mac at home, it'd have to use the Windows at work, but need documents in both spaces. You can scan it on one and read it and view it from another. We have a question here. What programming editors are accessible on the Mac? For example, announcement of indentation.
I don't know of any.
Okay. There's your answer there. Yeah, when you say program edit, well, when you say announcement indentation, then I think you're talking about just text and word processing, but you're saying actual programming editors.
Well, I think the point in there is, you know, any markup, HTML, PHP. Yeah, I don't know anything that really indicates indentation like some of the stuff on Windows can.
Yeah, so that's, you know, and the. So are we there best to go back and write to accessibility@apple.com or really go to the makers of the software?
I'm not sure that that's necessarily an Apple issue, you know, except for Xcode, the stuff that the tools that Apple makes themselves.
Right. So are there any editors you know with at least partial accessibility? So maybe if people want to decide which entities to rally behind to ask them for improved access, because again, it's all numbers.
I mean, if I'm writing code on the Mac, I write it in text editor on Xcode, but I have some vision. So
what about it, just HTML? You haven't seen anything where we can just build
you know, website design or build pages?
I do web stuff on Windows, the Windows side. I don't do that on the Mac.
Okay. Well, there you go, folks. I think we're going to put the wraps on it there, but I thank you for all these great questions. And join us every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific for Serial Talk Tech Chats. And until we meet again next week, let's stay connected and stay directed.
This concludes another Serotalk Tech Chat, powered by Accessible Event, a product of Serotech Corporation, giving the blind, deaf, and deafblind full access to classes, meetings, and webinars using Microsoft Word documents, Excel spreadsheets, PowerPoint slides, and web pages. 508 compliance is just one click away at www.accessibleevent.com. Until we meet again, stay connected and stay directed.